Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Christian Laettner is going to join us later this hour. Brendan Haywood will stop by in hour number three of the radio program. You could always listen to us across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and you could stream us at youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. I want to get into the segment that we meant to do three segments ago. And Chase Young, unfortunately, his career has just been impacted by injuries. But when he was coming out of college and with what he was able to do in college, people thought this was going to be the next great NFL defensive player. Like now on the offense side of the ball, when it comes to quarterbacks, people try to find who's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. And there's always a guy that people say, oh, well, he won't be Mahomes, but he could be half of Mahomes, or he could be 30% of Mahomes, or he has a Mahomes upside. And we heard that conversation with Trey Lance. You know, if Anthony Richardson learns how to have better accuracy, you've heard that with him. There has been a bunch of guys. Jordan Love has also been someone that has drawn Patrick Mahomes comparisons. But the most recent, and the one that is probably the most realistic, has been Caleb Williams, where it's not based off potential, it's based off things that he's actually done on the football field. And for the defensive side of the ball, when you have someone that could be an elite game changer and be elite at just causing quarterbacks havoc in hell, the one person, and this name does not get thrown around easily, the one person that people will throw around when there is a defensive player that people are like, okay, he's going to knock the you-know-what out of a quarterback, is Lawrence Taylor. And when Chase Young was coming out of college, Paul Alexander, longtime NFL offensive line coach, he made a little comparison to Chase Young being the next Lawrence Taylor. And Paul Alexander is an old-school football guy, so he understands the meaning and the importance and how sacred that name, Lawrence Taylor, is in NFL circles. So, obviously, Chase Young has not lived up to the hype. Obviously, Chase Young has been disappointing, and he hasn't made the impact that we thought. And a lot of it is because he just hasn't had the same impact ever since the ACL injury. And now he's dealing with another injury, as Zach just said in the update, when you get set to make this move to the New Orleans Saints, and you have to land in New Orleans after the Commanders wanted to get rid of you. Now the 49ers didn't want to bring you. And according to Adam Schefter, Chase Young, who signed the one-year $13 million deal, is undergoing a neck procedure that is expected to sideline him into training camp. And the expectation is that he will return in time for the season. Teams were aware of his neck issue, and the Saints were comfortable moving ahead with it. So Chase Young has been disappointing. Chase Young has been someone that you look back and you're like, okay, he's trending in that direction of not living up to the hype and being a bust. So usually this time of the year, as we're a little over a month out to the draft, you're trying to find who's going to be the next great player, and you're trying to find the guys that are getting thrown into the idea of being Hall of Fame talents and going to be game-changing players for your franchise. So with all that being said, I have compiled the list of guys, you know, in the last 30 years, let's just say, that I think are the top five biggest NFL draft disappointments for me. In at number five, I was debating, do I go Zach Wilson or do I take Trey Lance? The reason why I elected to go with Trey Lance is because the 49ers are a much better situation than the Jets. And the 49ers move mountains to get to the third pick, and they didn't know who was going to be their guy. Trey Lance was so bad, and the 49ers lost all faith in him, that he barely even played. Because you look back at Trey Lance, it was originally Jimmy G's team, then they were going to implement Trey Lance, then two games in, he gets hurt, and then you never heard of Trey Lance with the 49ers again. So yes, he wasn't really given an opportunity, but whatever they were seeing behind the scenes must have been so bad where Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were like, okay, we're out on Trey Lance. And any other franchise would not be able to recover for giving up basically three first-round picks to get Trey Lance, but the Niners have that good of a situation, and the Niners have that good of an environment where they were able to cover up that. And they were able to still find a way to get to a Super Bowl last year, even though they said goodbye to Trey Lance. So I put Trey Lance in at number five. In at number four, I know he has since passed away, but I'm going to put Charles Rogers on this one. Charles Rogers started that run of wide receivers for the Lions, and eventually they found a way to strike gold in the first round by after swinging and missing on three wide receivers in the first round, they were able to get Calvin Johnson. But you look back at the second pick of the draft, it's one thing to whiff on the second pick of the draft, but then it's okay, who was the next player at the position? And in this case, it was a player at the position of wide receiver that went with the third pick, and it was Andre Johnson. And we know Andre Johnson ended up being a Hall of Famer. So when I look back at, in my lifetime, or, you know, the last 30 years, five NFL draft picks that disappointed you the most. Five was Trey Lance, four was Charles Rogers. And you look back at that Charles Rogers decision, it was like, okay, you see him go two, then Andre Johnson does go three. Man, imagine if they just would have selected Andre Johnson. In at number three, I absolutely thought that this guy was going to be a stud. I was young at the time, but I liked the way that this guy played the game. My team had a high draft pick. I think they were like picking sixth or seventh, and they were right behind the Jets, and I really wanted the Patriots to get Vernon Golston. I thought Vernon Golston was going to be a stud. Now, thankfully, the Jets take Vernon Golston. The Patriots trade back a few spots. They get future draft capital, and when they traded back a few spots, they ended up taking Gerard Mayo, who had a very good career for the Patriots and now is the head coach of the Patriots. But I thought for sure Vernon Golston was going to be a stud, and he ended up being one of the biggest busts in NFL history. 2-1, I think everyone could guess them. It's just how do you order them? At number two, I put Jamarcus Russell. You could easily put him one. Jamarcus Russell had such a huge arm, and you'll never forget his pro day. You'll never forget what he did at LSU, and he could throw that football like 70 yards. The problem with Jamarcus Russell is he didn't want to be great. Like, you look at a guy like Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was a great, and I mean an all-time great, college player. But sometimes there are guys that are great college players that you know won't translate to the NFL. I was a massive Johnny Manziel fan when he was in college. I never thought, though, Johnny Manziel was going to be the sensational pro quarterback. But for Jamarcus Russell, he had that feeling in college that this dude's going to take the league by storm. And Johnny Manziel, when he was in the NFL, didn't want to be great, but I don't think he had the ability to be great in the NFL. The difference with Jamarcus Russell is he could have been great in the NFL, but he was kind of like Johnny Manziel in terms of the work ethic, where you always heard that story. They gave him the playbook, and they gave him a blank playbook on a digital copy or whatever it was, and he said he read everything, or he watched everything, and he didn't watch anything because it was a blank copy. And that's when the Raiders knew that they messed up taking Jamarcus Russell and he was going to be a bust. But man, the cannon and the arm that Jamarcus Russell had, it sucks that he just didn't have the attitude. And it sucks he didn't have the work ethic. Like Tim Tebow, for example. Tim Tebow wasn't a bad pro quarterback because he didn't put in the work. Tim Tebow was a bad pro quarterback because you could tell in college his game was not going to translate into the NFL. Now, you could make the case maybe Tebow should have made the switch to tight end earlier in his career instead of waiting until Urban Meyer got to town in Jacksonville in that one disastrous season with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But for Jamarcus Russell, I don't think it was a lack of ability. It was a lack of want to. And then in at number one, it's Ryan Leaf. Because you had that whole debate, Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, and we know what Ryan Leaf unfortunately turned out to be in the NFL. Thankfully, it seems like Ryan Leaf now has his life back on track, and he had to fight through a lot of ugliness with addiction. We got to know Ryan a little bit, and now it's good to see his life is in a better spot. But for me, I think one and two on every bus list, they have to have Leaf. They have to have Russell. It's just who do you put one, who do you put two? But for my individual list, the five NFL draft picks that disappointed me the most in my lifetime, five was Trey Lance, four was Charles Rogers, three was Vernon Golston, two was Jamarcus Russell, and in at number one was Ryan Leaf. Samter, what do you got cooking on your list?
Yeah, so I looked at it a little bit differently. Like you said, it's disappointment in my lifetime, not biggest bust.
And also, Samter didn't repeat anyone that I mentioned.
And for me, because like while Leaf and Russell are the two biggest busts, I wasn't super disappointed in them because, A, I didn't have high expectations, nor did I really like them coming out of college. So, like, I didn't care.
You didn't like Jamarcus Russell coming out of college?
No, because I was actually at that game. I think it was the Fiesta Bowl. It was Notre Dame LSU where he outplayed Brady Quinn. And at the time, Brady Quinn was the first quarterback off the board. And LSU just ran all over Notre Dame. And everyone was like, oh, well, then I guess Jamarcus Russell is going to be the first pick. That's what propelled him. And I'm saying, like, how could you use one game where LSU clearly had the better team than Notre Dame to determine that he's better than Quinn? Now, granted, Quinn sucked too, or at least wasn't great, but it was such a terrible decision-making process that they used one game to make this decision of Russell over Quinn. I was never a big fan of him, and I never really loved watching him play, to be honest. So for me, I looked at it as who are the five guys that I was the most disappointed
in. Wait, real quickly, before you do that.
Yes.
The 2007 quarterback draft class could be, maybe, the worst quarterback draft class ever. Jamarcus Russell went one. Brady Quinn went 22nd. Kevin Cobb to the Eagles went 36th. John Beck went 40th. Drew Stanton went 43rd. Trent Edwards went 92nd. Isaiah Stanback went 103. Jeff Rowe went 151. Troy Smith 174. Jordan Palmer 205, and Tyler Thigpen, 217. I'm reading this article on ESPN. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 quarterbacks selected in that 2007 draft class. Their combined record? 47-92. Russell went 7-18. Quinn 4-16, Cobb 9-12, John Beck 0-7, Drew Stanton went 8-5, Trent Edwards 14-19, Isaiah Stanback nothing, Jeff Rowe nothing, Troy Smith 4-4, Jordan Palmer nothing, Tyler Thigpen 1-11. That's got to be the worst quarterback draft class of all time.
I'm going to be honest. The fact that they had 40 wins between all of them, I was 47. Surprised. Yeah, that's higher than I thought it would be. I thought it would be somewhere in like the teens or the 20s. That's a terrible
Drew
draft
Stanton
class.
Drew Stanton had the best record, had the only one that was above 500. That's wild. Anyway, so sorry. Go ahead. Give me yours.
So my two honorable mention, very quick, Dan Wilkinson, 94, number one overall pick. And personally, 1995, you might know this guy, Mike Mamula.
Yeah.
Right? He was the first or one of the first guys to ever actually do combine workouts leading up to the combine. So he blew the combine away, went from being a third round pick to being number seven overall by the Eagles, and he sucked in the NFL. He was my favorite player in college because, like I told you in the past, BC was my team. Mm-hmm. So he was my favorite player in college. I had a Mike Mamula college, Boston College Eagles jersey. So I was very disappointed that he did not pan out, but I was psyched that he was like on the cover of Sports Illustrated for being in the combine. But here are my five most disappointing. Number five, Courtney Brown, 2000 number one overall pick by the Cleveland Browns, didn't pan out to do much as a number one overall pick. LeVar Arrington, who is his backfield mate in the defense for Penn State, was obviously a lot better at number two. Number four, I have Trent Richardson, also for the Browns.
Yeah.
2012, number three. His first year, he had like 900 yards rushing. And then after that,
remember he got traded for a first round pick?
Yes. And he got traded to Indy and did nothing. In his 2 years in Indy, he had 977 rushing yards, averaged 3.1 yards a carry, and then was out of the NFL, and no one would touch him. At 24, he was done. So that was a very odd one for me. Number three, I go Johnny Manziel, because I legitimately thought that Johnny, if he applied himself, was going to be really good. And I remember we all talked about the Cowboys were going to go and get Manziel, and they passed on him. And, of course, they got Zach Martin, which was awesome for them. And Manziel, just like he'd never put in the work, and it was such a disappointment because he was so fun. He would have added such fun to the NFL that needed it at the quarterback position that kind of Gardner Minshew gives us at this point. Number two, Zach Wilson. I think that, to me, at the time, Justin Fields was the go-to number two. And the Jets were like, screw it, let's go Zach Wilson. He had, like, one good year at BYU in a Group of Five conference, and let's make him our number two overall pick because he can throw the ball 70 yards running the other way. It's the dumbest thing. It's the Kyle Buller effect where, yeah, like, you know, you have a strong arm and really you suck at being a quarterback. And for me, number one, most disappointing personally and just I think overall was Matt Leinart. You know, the fact he was going to be the number one overall pick, then he stayed an extra year, lost the national championship to Vince Young, dropped down to the 10th pick, and sucked for the Cardinals, lost his job to Kurt Warner, who took the team and almost won the Super Bowl. And Matt Leinart, just like he never had the career that we all thought he was going to have to be this transcending quarterback.
Leinart is a great one, and I loved Matt Leinart when he was at USC. So, anyway, we'll take a time out. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Christian Laettner will join us next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost my turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. This time of the year, you always see this guy's legendary shot. I think they'll never stop playing it. Of course, he is Christian Laettner, and he's brought to us today on behalf of DraftKings, and he's here to talk about the NCAA tournament. Christian, appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and how are you?
My pleasure, Zach. I'm doing great. I'm just getting over a cold, but doing great here in Florida.
Well, we actually had Jamal Mashburn in studio last week, and we were talking about the whole moment up against Kentucky, the shot, Duke and Kentucky, and obviously a play that will live forever. All these years later, and you still see it replayed this time of the year over and over again, what's the memory for that iconic moment for you?
The memory is, thank God Mashburn wasn't out there. He fouled out, and I know he regrets it, and he wished he could have, you know, maybe not fouled one or two times so he could be out there. But what a player he was. I think he was just a sophomore, you know, that year during that game, and he went on. And I played against him so many times in the NBA. Just an unbelievable offensive player. Really hard to stop, and I loved every time I played against him. You know, the memories are just too many to mention. And the fact that it's on ESPN every March and, you know, the 30 for 30, I hate Christian Laettner, and they talk about it in such depth. It just brings back great memories. I get goosebumps every time talking about it, thinking about it. I have to force myself not to watch the show because I love the show so much.
You know, it's so weird. All these years later, this is something that everyone brings up to you, and you wonder if there's any new components or any untold stories. I saw Rich Pitino. Rick Pitino was on with Part of My Take, and Coach Pitino was basically saying the one regret he still has to this day is that right before his team went out onto the court, they said, whatever you do, don't foul Laettner. How about them? Because everyone talks about not having a guy on the ball, but them not really contesting the catch on that pass that was thrown to you.
Well, that's just what a coach has to say that. Every coach, if you put them in that scenario 1,000 times, every coach is going to say, don't foul the shot because we don't want to lose with no time on the clock and the kid can make free throws to win the game. So he did not make a mistake in that regard. He might have made a little mistake by not having someone on Grant Hill to contest the pass a little bit. And yes, the biggest mistake is, like you said, not contesting the catch. If they would have had someone flying at the ball right before I caught it, behind me, in front of me, trying to distract me during the catch, you know, that might have made a big difference. But you can't blame him for saying don't foul Laettner, because you should say that. Any coach that's a decent coach has to say that in that scenario.
Yeah, and he kind of thought, because when he said that, even though it's the right thing to say, it made his players get a little timid in the moment and kind of get afraid to even be within like 5 feet of you or something like that.
Yes, and I've, you know, it's been 30 years, and I've I coach nowadays. I've been coaching for the last 10 years. And if I find my team or my players in that situation, the last thing I say to them is don't foul. But right before then, I say, fly at the catch. Fly at the ball. Try to distract the kid a little bit. If you can deflect it, tip the pass. And yes, it might have made the kids a little timid. Play a little softer than they should have. But hindsight's 20/20. And thank good they did get a little timid in that regard.
Well, it worked out A-okay for you guys in the Duke program. Christian Laettner here with us. What are the iconic buzzer beaters that you really love, since you have such an iconic one? You know, I remember the Chris Jenkins shot for Villanova a few years ago to take down UNC. Jalen Suggs, even though they didn't win it, to put them in the national championship game. What are the moments for you that have really impressed you, since a lot of people argue you're buzzer beater and that moment's number one on the list?
Well, the Jenkins one is incredible because that was for the national championship game, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's got to be the biggest one. And when that happened, I went on Twitter or X and immediately said something like, I'm passing the crown to you. And that got a lot of feedback. But since then, I'm not on Twitter or X at all. I try to stay away from that social media stuff. But, you know, I think NC State and Lorenzo Charles, because that's like one of the first ones I remember when I was young. So, but they're all incredible. The kid from Valparaiso, I don't remember his name, but every one of them that you see is just incredible. And that's what makes March Madness so great. And that's why it's just going to be crazy starting today. Aren't the play-in games today?
Yep, later today.
I mean, everything moves so fast starting today. So I don't watch college basketball religiously, you know, nowadays. But from today moving forward, I'm going to be watching every day, because the round of 32 and the round of 16 happens really quick.
Christian Laettner here with us. You know what it's like to win back-to-back championships. UConn, just like how you guys did, is trying to do that. And they have a better team here the second go around. So I don't think anything phases them. How about the pressure of trying to win back-to-back tournaments?
Well, it is hard. I'll tell you that, because everyone's gunning for you. You know, they're going to give you their best game. But I'm impressed with UConn and Danny Hurley. The fact that he gets some of his kids to stay, and he has some juniors and seniors on their team in today's game, where the transfer portal and NIL and people can leave and people can transfer and go to the NBA. I'm impressed with the job that he does in terms of getting some of his kids to stay. Now, the thing I like the best about UConn, and the thing that I'm impressed the most with Danny Hurley and the job that he's doing there, is how slow his team plays and how simple and easy they make the game. They pass ahead. Everything is not just dribbling the ball a million miles an hour. They simply pass the ball ahead. They pass it down the court. They slow down at the right times. They catch and face. I love the speed of their play. They're fast when they should be, and they slow down when they should be. I love the way they play. I love the way they play the game.
And I think right now, because you know this with how it is with one and dones and the transfer portal and NIL, it's tough for players now to be the face of the sport. So forever in college basketball, or at least the last 15, 20 years, it felt like Coach K was the coach of the sport. Now with him in retirement, it seems like Danny Hurley has taken over the sport, getting that championship last year, and now being that polarizing person where, like you, 50% of the people love you and then 50% of the people hate you.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, becoming the face of college basketball, and that's what happens when you have so much success. And not in my eyes. I love Tom Brady, and I always wanted Tom Brady to win. And if Danny Hurley keeps doing good, I'm going to want him to continue to win. Sometimes I pull for the winner. Sometimes I pull for the underdog, but I'm just impressed with how he gets his team to play. I love watching them play. That Hurley family, they know some good basketball, and it all starts with their dad, Bob Senior.
Sure.
And we know Bobby Junior can play the game and coach the game, and it's good to see them continuing to have success.
One of some of my favorite memories when I was at Temple, and you had Bobby and Danny on the same staff, I think for one season at URI, and I think URI and Temple was in the same conference. There was like no one at this Temple basketball game. Hearing those two guys on the sidelines, I say this in a respectful way too, because I love this from coaches. Man, maniacs, just yellers, and absolutely awesome to see both of those guys on the same staff all those years ago.
You know, basketball is a beautiful game when it's played the right way and coached the right way. And sometimes I get worried about the fact that coaches don't stay somewhere for like 5-10 years so they can get their system established. And then we know the players don't stay anymore. The players transfer or the players go to the NBA. And I mean, even Duke, they're just so young. And I think back to how much better I was my junior and senior year compared to my freshman year. It takes time to get a system under your belt and to play the right way. And it takes coaches staying in one institution for years and years and years. And the players got to stay also.
And there's really no patience anymore. Like, I don't think John Shire's in any danger of losing his job. But you do have some that are like, okay, where is Duke basketball now going? What are your thoughts on what John has been able to do the last 2 years since replacing Coach K?
Well, it's just the sign of the times. And, you know, with everything being so quick and immediate on your phone and social media, and people want results right away. And if John Shire and Duke isn't doing great every game, you know, people lose their patience. But I'm here to tell everyone and tell the world that it takes a while for your principles, your philosophy, the way you expect the game to be played offensively, defensively, it takes a while for it to get established. And that's why I don't love the transfer portal. I don't love when coaches leave and go to a different school and the kids transfer and go to the NBA too early. And I wish people would be a little more patient and stick around and give the system a chance to work.
And I don't fault the players for making money, right? But you always wonder when you're trying to make money and you're chasing that bag, if you're chasing it for the right reasons too.
Well, that's what the pros is for. You're supposed to work hard and practice on the court more than anyone else and put your blood, sweat, and tears on it. So at the end of all that work, you can get paid and make some money. So the NIL thing, man, it just changes everything. And the horse is out of the barn a little bit. And I don't know if they can walk it back and change things a little bit. But the NIL is something that has to be handled the right way. And, I mean, even I would be pursuing different things if I was in college now and millions of dollars are coming in through NIL. I mean, it just changes the whole picture.
Wrapping up with Christian Laettner, who joins us today on behalf of DraftKings, and he's here to talk about the NCAA tournament. How about Kyle Filipowski? What have been your impressions of Duke's big man?
He's a great player. He's another kid that I hope he stays at Duke another year. I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, I just filled out my bracket, and I'm sorry to say I don't have Duke going to the Final Four. I was just on another show, and the guy, you know, pointed out that Christian, you picked all number one seeds, so I have UConn, Houston, Carolina, and Purdue going to the Final Four. Duke's going to run across Houston, and I think Houston's going to be playing with a vengeance because they got beat in their conference this past weekend. Houston also got out of the tournament last year a little early, so I really like Houston. They play hard. They're very well coached. They're great on the defensive end, and I'm picking Houston to win it all, and the reason is because when I was a junior, I lost in my conference championship against Carolina. We lost by 20 points, But then we went on and won six games in a row and were able to get our first championship my junior year. So I'm picking Houston to win it all this year.
Last two things I'll ask you. We started off with the shot and how everyone keeps on talking about that. Are you surprised still all these years later how many people talk about Isaiah Thomas not getting on the dream team? Because that pops up at least a few times every year, and a lot of times it's coming from Isaiah.
No, I'm not surprised about it, but that's because there's a lot of forums and a lot of platforms where people have to have stuff to talk about. Everyone has a podcast and everyone has a show and they got to talk about something, and there's just so many subjects, and it's not a bad subject to talk about. I was only lucky and blessed enough to be on that dream team because they chose to have one college player on the team. If it was reversed and they would have had a 12th NBA player, I'm sure Isaiah would have been on that team or someone else.
Well, Christian, hey, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. Once again, Christian Laettner is here today on behalf of DraftKings. Christian, thanks a bunch.
Zach, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
There he is, Christian Laettner, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Ack, let me just quickly ask you, because I feel like whenever there's a big moment in sports history, you could recall it just so vividly. Where were you the night Laettner hits the shot up against Kentucky?
At home, my friend and his band were playing at the bitter end, not too far from our studio where we are right now. Mm-hmm. It was a Saturday night, obviously. Len Elmore's birthday, and Len Elmore was calling the game. And I'm watching this game, and I remember at some point, I don't remember like it was late first or maybe early second. It's like a 12-point game, but you kind of have a feeling like Kentucky's kind of like hanging around, you know. And obviously the three-point shot wasn't as prevalent as it is now. You know, I mean, people took it, they could hit it, but it wasn't like it is. It's not like you can get back into the game so easily now. But they're, you kind of get a sense that they're kind of like hanging around. Like Duke can't put them away, but it's still a comfortable, you know, comfortable lead. And you know, Kentucky's inching back, and like, you know, I can't recall exactly like at one point, but I'm thinking to myself, now you got yourself a game. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere here. You
know? What was for dinner, Ack?
I don't remember, but I do remember it was a day like it is today almost.
Chilly.
It was chilly day, yeah, and at least in the New York area it was. And thankfully my friend was playing late that night, and because I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. And now I did not know how the game was going to turn out.
Yeah.
But it became the second half really became a heavyweight fight. And Kentucky just did not back down. And for as great as Jamal Mashburn, you know, was and meant to that team, he was the star on that team. And you know, you had Duke with Laettner and Hurley and Grant Hill, you know, I mean, they were really, but here was Kentucky somehow going toe to toe with them. And hitting big shots left and right. It was a remarkable game to watch. It really was.
It's funny the way that you say that, because there's always like those moments where you go, okay, imagine if I missed a game like that. Like you weren't going to leave. There is one game in particular.
I almost did.
Did you? Okay.
I almost did, let's just put it this way, the comeback started at the right time. Another 5 minutes later I might have been gone. But I said to myself, I'm not leaving now.
So the game for me that I remember leaving, like I wasn't in the stadium, but leaving where I was watching, was the Auburn Alabama kick six.
Ah, I was in there in the studio last Ion College football show of our first year.
A buddy of mine's girlfriend that he eventually ended up marrying, and now they have a beautiful baby boy. It was the first time we were meeting her, and we were supposed to go out to this Chinese restaurant, and we were just like delaying. I'm like, I can't go. And then eventually I was just like, all right, I'm going to leave.
Because you kind of figured Alabama's going to win this game.
I'll follow the rest of my phone. And then I sit down to watch whatever the night game was that night. And I'm like, what the heck? Just what?
Well, the funny thing about that game, I remember the end of that vividly, is, you know, Alabama, the one fatal flaw that year of the Crimson Tide, their special teams were not great. Just in the kicking area.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I think they had two kickers, if I'm not mistaken. And they called timeout right before that. And I was like, man, this is probably going to overtime because, you know, Alabama's kicking. This is no gimme. It's not an easy kick. you know, likelihood going to go. And you see Chris Davis is camped out under the goalpost. You're like, you know, all right, you know. And sure enough, it's short, and he gets it. And I think probably by about the time he got to the 15-yard line, you know, I go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
There
because,
he goes.
Because it's all chaos at that point. And the other thing is, the only guys he has to beat at that point are the slower offensive linemen. So you're like,
the Zach Gelbs of the world.
You know, he's got a shot here. You know, and it's kind of, we're kind of watching like, okay, short guy, you know, he's got it. Okay. And I'm like, whoa, you know. And sure enough, like,
hey. Oh, you Romo. Wait a second, Jim.
You know, and we're, you know, part of you can't help but get caught up in it. Like, and even though we're not rooting on the year, but deep down, you're like, go, you know. And to me, the more so than the play itself was just, and it was really a great thing. And I don't remember who directed that game for CBS, but they signed
the camera
off
shots.
The shot of everybody on the field afterwards. And it was such a joyful celebration that, you know, there was no chaos. It was, you know, no people trampling over. It was just people on the field.
I got to take a break, but I have a summer segment idea when we don't have much content. I think we just replay a moment in history and just have Ack, where were you? What were you doing? And just recall everything, because there's no memory like the memory that Richard Ackerman does have. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio on a Tuesday. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare on one out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Daniel Jeremiah released his latest mock draft. And when you looked at the first three picks, kind of resembled what he said to us last week, which was Caleb Williams going to go number one. And he's still rocking and rolling with Drake May in at number two to the Commanders. And then he was clear to us when he joined us on the air that the Patriots will not trade the pick at three. And I get the best of both worlds here, because I want the Patriots to keep the pick and either take a quarterback or take Marvin Harris Jr. And the quarterback I want is Jaden Daniels over Drake May. Well, Jeremiah, I hope he's running the front office of the Commanders so they could draft Drake May. And the Patriots end up getting Jaden Daniels in his latest mock draft in at number three. Now, here's the one that I think becomes very intriguing. And I hope it plays out this way, with Williams goes one to the Bears, and that's a lock. Then May going two and Daniels going three to the Patriots. In at number four are the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals could do a few different things. They could take who they think is the best non-quarterback available, that's a playmaker, which is going to be a wide receiver. So they probably draft Marvin Harrison Jr. there. If you want to make the case for Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, you can. But you could easily make the case that Arizona should take a wide receiver, pair him up with Kyler Murray, and try to get the most out of Kyler Murray, who's under contract. But then you could also say, trade the pick. Because you could have a team that's trying to jump the Giants to go get the fourth overall pick in the draft to go get that next quarterback off the board, which the assumption is it's going to be J.J. McCarthy. So I would not fault Arizona for taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's the best player pound for pound in this draft. And then also would not fault them for trading the pick. But if you trade a team like Jeremiah has mocked to the Minnesota Vikings, you then fall all the way down to 11. Where maybe then you don't get one of those wide receivers. Because I got to think in the top 10, you're going to see Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze all be selected. So you could get future draft capital, and you could get multiple first-round picks. Like a team, you know, in the Vikings position that's trying to go from 11 to 4. So I understand that, but then you pass up on the immediacy of trying to turn your franchise around as quick as possible and getting the most out of Kyler Murray with a wide receiver this year that is supposed to be elite and game-changing like Marvin Harrison Jr. So Daniel Jeremiah has the Vikings moving up from 11 to 4 and then taking J.J. McCarthy. Santa, let me ask you this real quickly, because about a month and a half ago, I would say four quarterbacks go in the first round. And I thought the four quarterbacks would be the four that were just mentioned. Even though I have Michael Penix Jr. ranked in front of J.J. McCarthy, I had the foresight to think that McCarthy was going to be a first rounder, even though I like Penix better than McCarthy. So those four are definitely going in the first round. Williams will be one. Drake May or Jaden Daniels will be two, and probably another one will be three. Whichever one doesn't go two, then the other one will be three. McCarthy's definitely, the longest he will fall is to six to the Giants, it feels like. So it's now a lock four quarterbacks to go in the first round. But how likely do you think it is that we're going to see four quarterbacks go in the first four picks of this draft? Because it does feel like it's going to be, whether the team stay there or not, quarterback, 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 one, two, three. Arizona really becomes the most intriguing team in this draft. Now, the Patriots, I guess, could trade, but then someone's going to take a quarterback either way. Arizona becomes really intriguing because even if the Patriots trade the pick or not and someone goes and gets a quarterback, there's still going to be another quarterback that's perceived to be a top six pick in this draft that's going to be sitting there in at number four, and I can't wait to see what Arizona does.
I would be disappointed for both teams, whether it's the Vikings and the Cardinals, to move up to four. If the Vikings are going to give up two first-round picks, you know, that that new number 23, 24, whatever it is that they just got from the Texans.
23, yeah.
If they're going to give that up to move up seven spots to get the fourth best quarterback in this draft.
But they're going to because they have no other plan. Their plan is through the draft.
Right. So
they either love Drake May with the McCown connection or they love McCarthy. They're going to go get one of those guys.
Right. So my point is, like, if you can get May or Daniels at two or three, or maybe they fall and you get them at four for whatever reason, fine. But to move up, unless you really, really love J.J. McCarthy, to move up to number four to get the fourth best quarterback feels desperate. And the Cardinals, if you move back to 11 and lose out on one of those three amazing receivers, that's a mistake.
So you hate it on both sides?
Both sides, I don't like it.
Yeah. I will still say it will be quarterback, 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 one, two, three. I'm starting to lean. It's one, two, three, four. And then we'll see what the Giants do, if they'll pull the trigger on a QB in at six.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
We've seen a lot of change in the past 20 years, but two decades later, Mountain Dew Baja Blast is still a fan favorite, bringing you the bold tropical lime flavor that folks can't get enough of. It takes you back to a sunny day at the beach with every delicious sip. And don't you want that feeling all the time? Well, 2024 is the year. In celebration of their 20th Baja-versary, you can sip Baja Blast all year long. So pick up a Baja Blast wherever you are. In stores now.